Leviticus chapter 16. Today, the great day of atonement is what we'll be looking at in this chapter. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The day of atonement in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. This chapter will give us the fullest explanation of the ritual for Israel's one and only mandatory fast day, as I mentioned, the Day of Atonement. One of the main purposes for the Day of Atonement was to cleanse the tabernacle of the pollution that it picked up from the unclean worshipers that previous year. But this special ritual also put off God's wrath from being poured out for all the sins that the people committed in the previous year. And verse 1 mentions the death of the two priests, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, which must have been a real shock to Aaron and his other priestly sons. You got to wonder what was going through their mind. Are we next? Are we next? We're going to be struck dead next because we're priests too. Well, you know, Nadab and Abihu died because they approached God in an unauthorized manner. And we know that from chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. So this chapter describes the proper time and manner for approaching God. If they follow the rules, they won't have to worry about it. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now, see, this is such a clear advantage to being in Christ today as opposed to being one of the priests or the high priest even back in the Old Testament times, because believers are in Jesus. And so we could come boldly to the throne of God anytime that we want to. But the Levitical priest didn't have that luxury, as it were. The priest ministered in the holy place, the first compartment of the tabernacle, every day. But they couldn't enter the holiest place on the other side of that veil anytime they wanted to do it. They just could not do it because that was where the presence of God dwelt in a very special way. 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. In verse 5, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 for a burnt offering. So on the Day of Atonement, the designated animals were brought into the sanctuary. I should say to the sanctuary for the high priest and his family. The high priest bathed himself and then dressed in the linen garments of an ordinary priest. And this was a reminder that he was just a servant of God. He wasn't anything special in and of himself. He was a servant of God. Actually, the most important servant of God, which made him special in that sense, but not because of anything inherent to himself. The more we serve God, the more special we are. Verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Before God gives a description of the details concerning the Day of Atonement, he gives us this general overview of the day's events. So what you've seen here in these few verses is a preview. Verse 11, "And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself." The high priest was just a sinner, like anyone else. And for that reason, before he could function in the office of a mediator, he had to be cleansed of his own spiritual defilement. Verse 12, "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." The first of three visits into the holiest place was when the high priest entered with a burner full of incense. And you know what this did? It created a smoke screen. A smoke screen that prevented him from gazing at the Shekinah glory cloud of God's presence over the mercy seat, and as a result, prevent God's wrath from being poured out upon him. 14. "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times." The second time the high priest entered the holiest place, he brought some of the bull's blood, which he sprinkled in front of the ark and on the atonement cover. 15. "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." So as he did with the bull's blood, the high priest took the blood of the goat and sprinkled it in the holiest place as a sin offering for the people. 16. "And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel." So the purpose of the sin offerings on the Day of Atonement was to make an atonement for Aaron and for the people, and also to cleanse the entire tabernacle of God, which had been polluted because of the people's sins the previous year. 18. "And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel." So that brazen altar where the sacrifices were burned throughout the year also had to be ceremonially cleansed. And that was accomplished by sprinkling it with the blood of the bull and the goat. 20. "And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities to a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. The effect of the people's sins on the tabernacle was cleansed by the sprinkled blood. We saw that. But symbolically, the sins of the people were placed on this scapegoat. The priest would put his hands on the head of the scapegoat and confess the sins of the people that previous year, and then send it away out into the wilderness where it could not find its way back. And that cleansed the Israelites of their sins. That was symbolic of their cleansing. That goat isn't good. That goat that has the sins of the people on it is not going to find its way back into the camp. Just like the Bible says that when we confess our sins as Christians, God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to see them again, never to even think about them again. And so this scapegoat is a picture of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, where Isaiah 53, verse 6, says this. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's really a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Verse 23. "And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there." 24. "And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar." After the sin offerings, Aaron washes up and he puts on his high priestly garment, and he then offers the burnt offerings for himself and for the people. 26. "And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp." 27. "And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp." So the one who took the scapegoat away was also ceremonially unclean. He had been defiled by this goat that had carried the sins of the people. So he had to bathe and wash his clothes. And so the message again is the important thing, and it is that people are sinners, but God is holy. And God is telling man, I'm not just one of the boys. I'm not just one of you. I'm special. I'm holy. I must be reverenced. I must be respected. 29. "And this shall be a statute forever to you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office of his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute to you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year." And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. The rituals on the Day of Atonement were repeated every single year. But you know, those rituals were meaningless unless the people also denied themselves. In other words, there had to be an attitude of repentance for this ritual to do anyone any good. Ritual is never a suitable substitute for a relationship with God, for repentance and faith in the Lord. But we are fortunate today, we Christians, because unlike the Levitical priest, Jesus, our great high priest, did the job completely. He did the job that all those days of atonement merely pictured. And as a result, he only had to make atonement once. There was only one day of atonement on Calvary, Good Friday, when Jesus was offered for our sins, became our sin offering, and became the scapegoat, really, that took away our sins if we receive him as Lord and Savior.